Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to give you a show, or actually, it's not really a show. We're not here to entertain, but we are here to provide you information regarding the Constitution and help illuminate what the heck's going on regarding the Constitution and regarding the Republic and so forth. So, anyway, as you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and you know that this is the only academic-based show. We really go through the source documents. We let you hear exactly how the framers defined the Constitution and the powers within the Constitution, how things are supposed to work, what things mean, and so forth. And so we believe that the problem, as I was dealing with a patriot in Idaho, one of the things that I have recognized is that people believe what they've been told. And for the past 100 plus years, we've been told and sold a bill of goods that really is not resemblance of the Constitution and what the framers had defined. Excuse me. And so it's really hard for people to fathom and to understand, what does this enumerated Constitution mean? What the heck is it that we're doing here? And so the bottom line, it's pretty simple if you ask me. If you want to understand the Constitution, you absolutely have, you must read the ratification debates, or you will not understand the Constitution. I've talked a lot about the sovereign citizen movement, and those people who are outselling the sovereign citizen movement are just as equally dangerous as the progressives, because what they're getting you to do is to get you to no longer be involved in saving the Constitution. In other words, it's like getting you to buy into something that takes you out of the game. If you're not in the battlefield, and where the battle really needs to be fought is at the state level, if we can't get you there, then we don't have the numbers we need. We need patriots to unite. And the fact is, you know that old adage, united we stand, divided we fall. Well, that's resonating very loudly. So one of the things, and what I really want to do is I want to cover some stuff that we need to start focusing on as we start getting ready to feed you or give you what I would say is the bread and butter or the real gold of this show, because we're heading in towards the ratification debates. We're weeks away. We're going to do a few more things. We have a couple more things to cover, and I'll get right into that. But what we want to do is talk about things that we really need to start pushing, and we need to start helping people understand that there are hardcore limitations, and there's actual things that we can do to, I'll just say, send a warning shot across the bow of Congress and the federal government. Not just a warning shot, and you know, an actual, we're coming. And so we'll get into that. And one of the biggest things I want to tell you is you need to tune in on Friday. There are things in motion. There is a silver bullet that nobody really understands. And we've talked about what Sidney Powell was doing and what Texas had done and all of these other lawsuits that were trying to intervene on the behalf of President Trump. We told you the importance of that petition and that petition going to Congress. Well, now that we've had that petition actually delivered and Congress did not heed the call, now we actually have a silver bullet. And it's more like a maybe a hydrogen or, you know, a neutron bomb or, you know, the MOAB, the mother of all bombs, right? So we've got a silver MOAB. That's what we'll call it. And we're going to talk about, I'm hoping that we have everything in place so that we can talk about this on Friday, because I do not want to talk about this prematurely. And what I mean by prematurely is, you know, I do not want to put things out that would cause an impact or actually halt what we're trying to do, because if people know you're going to be walking in a very specific entrance, you're going to be coming at them in a very specific direction, then they can prepare themselves, they can lock that door, they can fortify themselves, and we do not want that to happen. What we want to do is basically drop this silver MOAB, and they'll be none the wiser, and then we're going to explain exactly what this is. And I'm hoping, I really want to get the author, I want to get the genius behind this actually on the line so that we can actually have a conversation so that you can hear from his words what the heck we're doing. And so with that, let me thank you for tuning in. We do beg, we do beseech, and as a matter of fact, use Friday as the day that people really want to tune in. You know, if we're going to have a listener drive and you're going to say, well, let's get people to tune in on a specific day, let's make it Friday, because we're dropping that silver MOAB unless I tell you otherwise Wednesday or Thursday, because we'll know where things have landed probably by Wednesday night, Thursday morning. So probably the Thursday show, we will tell you if there's going to be an interruption, but we expect to be able to, you know, announce that the delivery of the silver MOAB had occurred. One of the things I also want to let you know is, and if you don't follow G. Edward Griffin, the Red Pill Expo coming up will be in South Dakota, Rapid City, South Dakota, very specifically, and it will be June 4th through the 6th. So I'm hoping that you, if you can make it, you will plan to be there. And so this way we can maybe all coalesce. And usually G. Edward Griffin has some really good talent there. And we're hoping that yours truly might actually be able to. See, the problem is yours truly, and this is G. Edward Griffin's right up front with me, I'm too constitutionally based. And I'm not necessarily, because the Red Pill Expo is an international forum. And so he tries to make sure that those people that, you know, are up on the stage have one international pull and international notoriety, that type of thing. So I'm not sure if I will get an opportunity to speak, but I will be able to at least let you know that there will be a Red Pill Expo in South Dakota, and I'm hoping to be there because we have some really good patriots that we work with, and we've actually had Tony Randolph on the air here before, and so we hope to actually have him and a few other people available so that maybe we'll be able to talk about some of the stuff we have gotten done between now and then. We'll see. Anyway, we know that there's a constitutional crisis, so I'll just kind of skip over that. And we're going to be addressing that constitutional crisis with that silver MOAB. But as you know, we've kind of covered the Madison's letter to John G. Jackson. We've covered the Monroe Doctrine. We have covered the Missouri Compromise. The couple of things that we really want to go into, and I started doing some research this weekend on the enactments or these, I forget what they call it, but it's basically the congressional document that recognizes that a state is to be formed, and it's the admission to the Union kind of enactment. And in this, basically, the Congress sends a declaration, a letter to the state to basically say, okay, here are your boundaries, just like we did with the Missouri, the establishment of the Missouri state, or the admission of Missouri into the Union. And what they also do is they basically tell you, you've got to create a constitution. And some of the things we kind of pointed out where they started talking about, you know, mineral rights or soil rights and so forth, and how they've kind of slipped, or I should say, how they have gradually, one state after the other, kind of created more caveats. And we think we can control this now. We think we can control this. And I am here to tell you that they can't. They cannot do these things, because if those things were not stipulated in the original states, they cannot be stipulated in the latter states. Period. Because each state is to step in with equal footing. And it's kind of like this. When the federal government creates and takes away resources of the state, a good example, Western states have very large swaths of land that are federal forests, and they say, you can't touch this land. Well, hold it. Where in the Constitution does the federal government have the authority? Where have we delegated to them to take away states' rights and resources? That would be like the federal government coming along and saying, Manhattan Island and the business district, that is no longer yours. We own all of that. We own all businesses and everything else. I mean, it's equally unconstitutional as that or anything else that they've done. Anyway, we've got a hard break. We'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, like I said, I'm going to kind of give you a heads up of how we're how we're planning on executing the next couple of days, weeks, going into the ratification phase. Like I said, we've already covered the Monroe Doctrine, the Missouri Compromise, and even Manifest Destiny, and Madison's letter to John G. Jackson. What we want to do is we want to get into a couple more things before we actually cycle back. So we kind of walk through history from the Constitution and its ratification all the way up. So we kind of start off with kind of like a highlight of the Federalist Papers, because the intent of the Federalist Papers was to help sell the Constitution, but we kind of begin in the whole essence of why we ended up having a constitution. And anyway, so we kind of lay out the exigencies of the times, Shaver's Rebellion, that type of stuff, that kind of creates the impetus and the urgency for creating a new or fixing the Articles of Confederation, which ended up becoming the Constitution. So we kind of go through that historically, and then what we really do, and the real gold, as far as I'm concerned, regarding the show, the real gold that we have is the ratification debates. So we will be going into those probably within the next few weeks. And the last time we went through those, it took about 7 weeks to get through. But you're gonna get out of these the actual words of Mason, Iredell, Madison. We tend not to cover Patrick Henry too much, because Patrick Henry, here's an interesting thing. Patrick Henry was an anti-federalist until the Constitution was passed, and then he became a New Age Federalist, or what we really want to consider kind of a big government guy. Because as much as he wanted to preserve the states' rights, he then wanted to actually move towards this grand stage, and he was too late in life to be able to do that. A lot of the framers, Benjamin Franklin, George Mason, I mean, most all of these guys were going to die rather quickly, other than some of the younger guys. Believe it or not, John Adams was kind of a younger guy, because he lived until, 1826, I think, the 50-year anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Him and Thomas Jefferson happened to die on the July 4th. Anyway, a lot of interesting little tidbits and factoids that are out there, but what we want to do is we want you to actually have in your hands these words of the framers as they were discussing the Constitution and what it really meant. There is no greater audiobook, and so what we want to do this time, I'm going to do editorializing, but I'm going to really keep the content down to just, focused on what we're dealing with that day. We do not do the news cycle. We don't try to do any of this type of informational stuff. We'll just kind of start the show off. Thank you for tuning in. This is where we left off, and just dive in. And the reason we want to do that is because we want you to be able to take these shows and burn them to a disc, and now you kind of have an audio book of the ratification debates. And we're going to cover every state, because it's important that you see that even those states that didn't do anything, like Delaware, we want to give you some of the little things that they felt necessary to add. When Massachusetts ratified its, when it finished its constitutional ratification debates, and they ratified the Constitution, at the very end of their ratification, they added what we would call, recommended amendments. These weren't amendments that were contingent upon the Constitution being ratified. These were just recommendations that they hoped that would make it as amendments to the Constitution. And what they did was they set precedents, because every state, after they ratified, and even Thomas Jefferson, when he found out about it, he says, that's exactly what states need to do. I'm absolutely on board with ratifying this Constitution, and states basically presenting what they would like to see, which would then lend to one of the Bill of Rights and these other things. But anyway, anywho, let me just kind of dive forward, because what I do want to do is I want to focus more today on, maybe some marketing, if you want to call it that, but more on the things that we really need to start pushing. But what I want to do is give you the big kabooms. As I said, we're going to be talking on Friday with Bob Schultz. And just so you understand, Bob Schultz is the subject matter expert on First Amendment petitions. He's done this, and he's filed these things for, since the 80s. And so he's been at it for a few decades. And this Moab, the silver Moab that he will be dropping, is going to be huge. So we're going to be talking about that this coming Friday. And one of the things I kind of want to talk about, because this is one of those things I get kind of rabid about. If you've ever heard me talk about our justice system and how unequal it is, I believe that the elitists have an unfair advantage in what we're supposed to have as a blind justice system. And when all of a sudden the elitists can have a DUI and go home that night, and not even, just basically, I'm going to write you a check or what have you, and does not have to go through the same kind of suffering that a common person, let's just say you're an 18-year-old or a 21-year-old, you just got your job, you're barely making ends meet, and you make the same mistake as, this elitist, and you actually have to post bail, you actually have to spend time in jail, you may lose your job. Well, Bruce Springsteen, if you hadn't heard, got caught with a DUI. Now, whether he was guilty or not is one thing, but you were all innocent and, in the eyes of the law until proven guilty. And so he's been, I believe, charged. But the fact of the matter is that he should have to go through the exact same anguish that the lesser of us Americans would have to go through. If not, we have a system that's tailored towards the elitist. Roethlisberger, when he had DUIs, or ball players, anybody, a Hollywood star, politician, I don't care. The system should be blind. And the bail you have to post should be based on your value, your net worth, as well as your income. Because bottom line, that the average person doesn't have at their disposal, millions of dollars, estates all over. Come on. We should all have to feel the same kind of, at least similar pressures that, I've done something bad here. These elitists, I don't want to sound like I'm an anarchist or a communist, but if we have a blind system, then a blind system doesn't have a flat standard fee. Like, if you commit a DUI, it's $50,000. Well, that's not fair to the 21-year-old that may have, made a dumb mistake. It's not fair to that. It's not fair to anybody to see these guys that pull in millions of dollars on their sports contracts and, they're celebrities and they get away with it. That's not the way our system should be working. It should be working so that everybody is equally compelled not to make those types of mistakes. We talked about Thomas Jefferson and the two guys that ended up stealing and destroying his documentation on the Indian tribe language. He actually worked out the phonetics or what have you, and actually wrote down, their language and dialect and recorded it. And it was like 20 some odd tribes, and that all got destroyed. But more importantly, when they caught these guys were not just necessarily, slapped on the hands. They were hanged because of the theft and because of what they did. Back in those days, you got hanged for stealing a horse. We are, I'm not happy with the fact that, we don't have a fair system, but more importantly, we should have a legal system that is blind, that doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from. Everybody should have the same fight in, proving their innocence, once they've been charged or what have you. It's not that, this is a Kennedy, he gets to go home for free, no charge. We're so sorry we held you up. Anyway, there's also pressure on I think the Republicans are trying to create a 9/11 commission. Actually, I believe there's even hyperbole and rhetoric that is coming from the left regarding a 9/11 type commission on the Capitol. And I'm going to call it the petition because some of them are calling it the Capitol siege of January 6th. You know, and again, that's hyperbole, right? So the Dems are using this rhetoric, but I'm telling you, they're not going to support this because they do not want all of the facts to come out, how that supposed siege was not necessarily all the doings of, you know, those people that were there. In other words, what I'm telling you is that there were infiltrators and all of these little things that the Dems and the left don't want you to know how they had their hand in that protest. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so we're working with some new hardware, so we're hoping that this actually makes our lives a lot easier on getting these shows done and out. But anywho, and what it's called is a compressor. Anybody that understands the recording studio equipment. Anywho, it's supposed to alleviate a lot of my editing time because I spend almost more time sometimes editing the dynamics of the show, not editing the content, but actually just trying to get the sound levels right. And so you'll probably notice some nuanced differences between recordings in the next week or so. Anyway, as everybody knows, Trump was acquitted his second impeachment. Now, there wasn't anything, and this was my whole point, is that they had no evidence to really impeach him, but they have the constitutional standing to impeach him. I want you to understand, we can impeach former presidents. I've gone over this quite a bit. Anybody that's listening for the first time, I want you to understand that when the Constitution was written, it basically focuses on the removal of a president from office. And then once he becomes a former president, he's Joe Citizen. He no longer has a salary. He no longer gets any money. He no longer has any involvement with the federal government other than, just the recognition he's a former president. Well, that's changed. And as a matter of fact, because they created permanent emoluments for presidents to become former presidents, in other words, they have a retirement, they have benefits, they have access to government for intelligence briefings. See, this is the whole thing. And Biden has basically come out and said he's thinking about, you know, taking away Trump's intelligence briefings, which until he's been impeached, they can't do that. And so if he does that, I'm hoping Trump actually takes him to court and says, hey, this is an emolument that I am entitled to, as well as all former presidents are entitled. He has no right to do that. But this opens the door with the fact that a former president can be impeached. So don't be shredding or fearing, I should say. I kind of meant dreading, not shredding. But don't be dreading or fearing that, you know, they may try to impeach Trump a third time. I don't think you're going to find the smoking gun in his administration, other than the fact that he went after the deep state, and the deep state didn't like that. The reality is Obama actually violated his constitutional oath of office. We have facts now of what he has done, what his administration has done. The same thing with Clinton and the same thing with Bush. And here's the point. Now that we know that we can, and now that the people are finally supporting, at least embracing this concept that a former president can be impeached, then we need to push full press and go after Clinton, go after Bush, and go after Obama, and remove them from being their former president status and take away their security detail, their retirement, all of the things that they shouldn't be entitled to because of what they did. It's pretty simple. You know, everybody didn't want to see this happen to Trump, but, you know, the great thing is it actually happened. And now we have not only precedents, but we can now argue the fact that these are emoluments, and a former president, once an emolument is out there, there has to be a mechanism of removing it. It is not a God-given entitlement, like your freedom of speech. That's a God-given entitlement. And so we even have a law that protects that. And impeachment is the act of removing somebody from a station or position, not a trial of a crime. In other words, you don't go to jail, you just get removed and no longer going to earn your, you know, retirement or what have you. Anyway, so actually going back to the Silver Moab, we hope that Trump listens to this broadcast on Friday when we talk about this, because Trump is going to want to know what is happening and how this could really change the game big time. I just want you to understand. I cannot emphasize this more than we are right now, that on Friday, this coming Friday, when we talk about what Bob Schultz is going to be doing and what has just dropped, the Silver Moab is what we want to call it, and we just made that up, by the way. But anyway, the point is that we want to get everybody engaged in this. We could easily just, you know, drop it, you know, as like breaking news, but we believe that if you start telling people just to tune in, this is not about ratings. We don't even make money for the amount of ratings we get, or we don't even have paid advertising. We support Ad Local, you know, and that's not paid advertising. We're actually just supporting them. You've got a company that is actually doing patriotic things and actually putting their money where their mouth is, like Ad Local, then you call us and we will talk to you, and we may do promos for you. There is an organization that I still owe them to start doing promos for them, and they provide security at events at cost. I mean, not even at cost. They do it for free. They try to do it so that there's no cost at all. And so what we want to do is help those guys out as well. So just because we do advertising doesn't mean that we're actually pocketing anything. This is all on yours truly's expense. So anyway, one of the things that we want to kind of get into, and I'm going to kind of skip over some of the marketing at this point. What I want to do, because I know I'm going to run out of time, what I want to do is I want to tell you some of the things that we really need to be focusing and pushing. And I want to kind of put it, stitch it all together. There is, as everybody knows, we've got this thing called the Bill of Rights. But a lot of people don't know that there were actually 12 amendments in the Bill of Rights. The second amendment of the Bill of Rights was ratified in 1991 or two, and it's the 27th Amendment. People don't know that. People just look at it as the 27th Amendment. And the 27th Amendment is the amendment that basically allows Congress to vote themselves a pay raise. However, that pay raise cannot take effect until after the next election. So in other words, if they give themselves too big of a pay raise, and then the people back home say, hey, that was too big of a pay raise, you don't deserve that, and they don't re-elect them. They actually elect somebody else. So that way, that person doesn't collect on that nice pay raise they gave themselves. And so it was the whole, I don't know why James Madison actually put that in there. I do not understand its real importance other than the fact that I do know that everybody looks at what a lawmaker makes and says, these guys shouldn't be making that much money. This public service. Are you kidding me? These guys make less. Most of these people make less than other people that actually enforce those laws and so forth. Especially at the state level. Now, Congress, their salary, I think their salary is good. I think it's a decent salary. And they should, it should be completely illegal for them to make any investments in the stock market, as Nancy Pelosi and many of them have made millions on insider trading. They should not be able, they should only be able to invest in, you know, like, the IRAs, mutual funds, or something like that, to where there's no real benefit that you can capitalize on one piece of information like solar, you know, solar energy or what have you, which happened big time under the Obama administration, and why there are so many millionaires in Congress today. They've gotten very good at insider trading, and that has to stop. The fact is that what we want to do is actually displace the swamp. I mean, Trump talked about draining the swamp. Well, that takes a lot of effort, but it doesn't take much effort to displace the swamp permanently, or at least half of the swamp. So the First Amendment in Madison's Bill of Rights was an amendment that actually leveled, or I should say, created a ceiling for representation. And so most people don't understand that apportionment was based on, at that point in time, inhabitants. In the 14th Amendment, apportionment was based on, and we'll get into the 14th Amendment before we get into the ratification phase, by the way, but the whole point of apportionment was based on inhabitants in the U.S. Constitution. So it didn't matter who was there. But in the 14th Amendment, Section 2, it was changed to be based on U.S. citizens eligible of voting. And so we have a huge problem with apportionment and how we're, you know, assigning representation for a lot of the inhabitants, or I should say the invaders that live here. They do not deserve, based on the Constitution, they are not to be counted for apportionment or representation. And so there's a really, really good article out there. Maybe I had to put this out. This is by the Center of Immigration Studies, and they've got a story on the impact of illegal immigration and apportionment seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. We'll be right back, and I'll give you more on this as soon as we get back.
To
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what we have is this report that was done by the Center for Immigration Studies, and what they did was they laid out the impact of how illegal immigration has affected the apportionment of seats, where California has 11 extra representatives than they should have because there's that high of a presence of illegal aliens. Now, you got to understand that it's almost a million people to one representative. If California has 11, it's like tantamount to 10 million people that they have counted, and this was in the 2010 census, not the 2020 census. And so with these 11 representatives, and they're talking about this, and this article was done early on in 2020, and they knew that California was going to obtain even more representation because most citizens, a lot of citizens, have left California. And so the uptick in population is really more to illegal immigration and illegal aliens or invaders. We need to call them invaders. So bottom line, as we look at this apportionment, and the reason I started talking about apportionment is because this amendment would require a recalculation and a look at both apportionment and districting of how representation would be done. So this is the First Amendment. This is the language. After the first enumeration required by the first article of the Constitution, there shall be one representative for every 30,000 until the number shall amount to 100, after which the portion shall be so regulated by Congress that there shall be not less than 100 representatives or less than one representative for every 40,000 until the number of representatives shall amount to 200. After the appropriation or the proportion shall be so regulated by Congress that there shall not be less than 200 representatives nor more than one representative for every 50,000 persons. So in other words, this creates two tiers of level. So when the Constitution was ratified, each representative was to represent 30,000 citizens or 30,000 inhabitants. And that changed to 40,000 when it hit 200 or 100 representatives. And then, so that ceiling shifted when all of a sudden they had 100 representatives. Then they had to maintain 100 representatives and 40,000 representatives. At that point in time, then they started representing 40,000 inhabitants. So what it did was it kind of brought the number down a little bit of representatives in Congress by representing a few more people. The next tier, and the final tier, was that a representative could not represent anything more than 50,000 inhabitants based on this amendment. However, with the 14th Amendment, this would change, and it would be 50,000 for this final tier. It would be 50,000 U.S. citizens, not inhabitants. So California may have a lot more inhabitants, but they would have a lot less representation, because in 1980, Jimmy Carter allowed the illegal aliens to be counted on the census. Now, I want you to understand that over the years, there has been a very methodical push in trying to make illegal aliens a powerful voter bloc or invaders. And bottom line, I've talked about this to ad nauseum. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution clearly states that the United States government is responsible of stopping invasions and protecting each state from an invasion, which means that they have failed in stopping this invasion, and they're doing everything they can to promote the invasion, if you understand what I'm saying. And so what we have today has been a long train of little policy changes that have actually made it so that illegal aliens are already participating in illegal activities such as voting. So what's happened? Jimmy Carter passed the counting and violating Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, and you need to read this story by the Center of Immigration Studies and how Section 2 of the 14th Amendment actually limits the apportionment and how that apportionment is to be counted. But going deeper into this, in 1980, Jimmy Carter was the one that violated Section 2 and started actually counting all illegal aliens. Why? Because he was illiterate regarding the Constitution, or he didn't care about violating it. He's still alive, and as far as I'm concerned, we were just talking about impeachment. Jimmy Carter should be impeached for what he did. He violated Section 2 of the 14th Amendment and created this huge problem, and now a complete misrepresentation of the population of America for the U.S. citizens. Why California has greater representation than Ohio and many other states who actually have a higher concentration of U.S. citizens but do not have equal representation. Anyway, so in 1980, Jimmy Carter put the dominoes in motion in starting to legitimize illegal aliens. Well, that sat there until we got the next real hardcore progressive in office, not the deep state progressive, which was George Herschel Walker Bush. What we got was under Bill Clinton, and you got to understand, this was the very first year Bill Clinton was, you know, president, because that was 1992. He was elected in 92. He was sworn in 93. Go read up on the National Voter Registration Act. In so doing, they were trying to make it easier for people to become voters, and so they tied a national law that allowed people to become a registered voter when they got their driver's license. Oh, it was the motor voter drive or whatever. Anyway, so they actually started getting out there and making it easier. Well, okay, so that seemed kind of innocuous, and it seemed like it's something isolated all on its own, but not at all. Because down the road, what ended up happening, I guess that's a play on words or, you know, working on the imagery here with driving and roads. What ended up happening was states then started legitimizing illegal aliens by giving them driver's license. And if you go to the NCLS.org, you will find which states actually give illegal aliens driver's licenses. What happens when somebody gets a driver's license? Well, I just told you what Bill Clinton did. They now instantly have access to voting. They become a registered voter. So every illegal alien that actually gets a driver's license then has the ability. Now, supposedly, they say that there's this policy that they don't do it. But I have told you that the people that work in government offices, wink, wink, nod, nod, always do everything to support their ideological line. And surprisingly, more people in government positions are liberals than conservatives. And so those people working at the DMV, you'll even find states that are blue that do not even have, they don't have laws that allow illegal aliens access to driver's license. They will still, in blue cities in those dark red states, like the Carolinas, they will allow, the DMV will nod and allow illegal aliens to become registered voters and driver's licenses, even though the state hasn't actually officially allowed it to happen. They start changing their own policies throughout the bureaucracy. This is how far the deep state goes into your state, because they're doing everything they can to water down and destroy American culture. And most of these people don't even realize what they're doing. They just think, you know, we're going to be able to maintain our benefits. It's kind of like the U.S. Post Office they were involved in a political war with Trump, because Trump was basically saying that the U.S. Post Office is a drain on the government. But the problem that Trump had is that he didn't understand the Constitution, and that is an obligation that the federal government has in providing postal services. You may think that we may be better off going to privatizing, but that's okay if you amend the Constitution. Until you amend the Constitution, the federal government must and will operate the post office. And Trump was wrong in going down that path. He would have lost if that would have gone to court. Anyway, the whole point is that what we're trying to do is we're trying to actually push this First Amendment, before I run out of time. We're trying to push this First Amendment, which will then force the states, as the states start ratifying this, this will start them to start talking with each other, and then a part of that conversation has to be fixing the apportionment so California and these other states that have all these illegal aliens don't get the representation for those anymore, and we realign them back out to where the Constitution has dictated for U.S. citizens to be able to get their apportionment and representation on equal footing. Anyway, we've got a lot more to get into, and we've got just 5 days this week. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.